I heard a preacher say one time that my intent is not to step on your toes. If you feel something on your toes, it's really just bits of broken preacher. And I thought, that's just a silly way to say whatever it is you're trying to say. But this week, I get it. I want to share with you this morning a passage that I'm struggling with. Because just to be completely transparent and honest with you, there are parts of this passage that I don't like. And it has challenged me. I want to share it with you. But I get what he means. That this is not stepping on toes as much as it is sharing an experience. And I'm going to be transparent enough to let you see my brokenness. Because I don't like some of this. But I think that our church and our community have reached a point where these things need to be said. And so we're going to let Scripture say them to us this morning. Look with me in the book of Romans, chapter 12. The book of Romans, chapter 12. I know the screen says we're going to start at 14, but screens lie. Look at verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. And man, he's got me. I love it. That's good stuff. I can buy it. I'm all over it. I love that stuff. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. That's what I want y'all to be. And then he goes to the next verse. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. What? You do me wrong. It's my God-given right as an American to get you back. You do me wrong, and I'm going to make sure that you're sorry that you did me wrong. Can I confess to you that that's in here somewhere? I don't like it, but it's in there somewhere. I'm just curious if maybe it's not in you somewhere also. Let's keep going. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Now, that doesn't mean be brainwashed and everybody think alike. It just means have some unity, some harmony among you. He goes on and says, do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. 15 and 16, that's good Christian stuff. I'm not perfect in it, but I get it. And I want to be there. I got that. But then there's 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. That's a challenge. You see, we're built in such a way that when there is conflict, there is escalation. In other words, you do something I don't like, I'm going to do something in retaliation that's worse than that to make my point. That's going to put you in a position where, because of your pride and your commitment to whatever it is you're arguing over, you've got to do something even bigger than what I did to you. You've got to do something bigger to make your point. And it escalates. And it gets out of hand. And it happens so fast. And it is that very kind of thing that can destroy a community. Friends and neighbors, it's time for that kind of stuff to stop in the town of West. Look at verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. A lawyer was duck hunting in Montana recently. He shot a duck, landed on the other side of a fence. So when he went to retrieve his duck, this fella pulled up in a pickup. He said, "What are you doing on my property?" The lawyer said, "Well, I shot the duck. He landed on the other side of the fence. I'm just retrieving the duck that I shot." The fella said, "That duck is on my side of the fence, so now it's mine." The lawyer said, "I don't think you know who you're talking to." "No," replied the farmer, I don't care. The lawyer said, "Well, I'm a famous lawyer. And if you don't let me get that duck, I'm going to sue you for your farm, your truck, and everything else you own. I'll leave you penniless on the street." "Well," said the farmer, "in Montana, the only law we go by in a case like this is the three kicks law." "Never heard of it," said the lawyer. Farmer said, "Well, it works like this. I get to kick you three times. And if you make it back to your feet, you're able to kick me back three times, then the duck is yours." He thought this over. He grew up in a tough neighborhood. He figured he could take this farmer. He says, "Fair enough." So the farmer kicked him in the shin. And as he was doubled over, the farmer kicked him in the face. And when he hit the ground, he kicked him in the ribs. After several moments, he made it back to his feet. He said, "All right, now it's my turn." Farmer said, "Oh, it's all right. You can have the duck." And that's how we settle things. Instead of having a conversation, we'd rather find an excuse to kick somebody. Not necessary, but it gets us what we want, and so we wind up going that way so easily. Look at verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. As far as it depends on you. Now, I find there two things. I find a challenge and an encouragement. I find a challenge that says it's my responsibility to do everything I can do to be at peace with the people around me, with my neighbors, with my church family, with the people in town I don't agree with. Scripture tells me it's my job to do everything in my responsibility, everything I'm capable of doing to be at peace. That's the challenge. There's also a little bit of an encouragement there, because what he says there is, as far as it is possible, you do everything you can do. Meaning, you may not ever find real, total peace with the people around you. Because some people are just hateful. Do you know that? Some people are just hateful. Some people just wake up in the morning looking for a reason to get mad. Some people aren't happy unless they're unhappy. And so you can't do anything about their decisions, about their actions, about their words, but you can do something about your own. So this verse, although it challenges me, I have to say, it is fair, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. You do what you can do to live at peace. Yesterday in Pastor Wright's sermon, Pastor Montgomery was preaching. He is one of Pastor Wright's closest friends. And he said a lot, as you would imagine. It was a great message and a great funeral. But the one statement that really stuck out to me had nothing to do with the funeral per se. But because I was thinking along these lines, this one statement stuck out at me, and he said, "The Bible never says nowhere that you have to like someone." It never says that you have to like someone. It does say, be kind, love, forgive. I think what we do is we misinterpret Scripture sometimes, and we say, it's telling me I gotta like everybody, everybody gotta be my friend, and that doesn't work for me, and so we just kind of throw it all away. That's not Scripture. There are going to be people you don't like. But you still do everything you can do, everything within your power, to live at peace with them. You're not responsible for their actions or their behaviors or their decisions, their attitudes, but you are responsible for your own. And so, Paul teaches, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. It's not just a comforting thought, by the way. It's not just a sweet idea. It's a command. We don't see it quite as much in English as you would in Greek, but the word that's used, the form of the verb there, is a command. As much as it is possible, you do everything you can do to live at peace with all men. The reason that we're commanded to do it is because it's not natural to us. It's not easy for us, and it's not fun. So we're not going to do it on our own. We have to be told. You do everything you can, everything in your power, to live at peace. I was surprised as I started thinking through this and wrestling with this passage. I was surprised how many times through Scripture we're taught the same thing. In Psalm 34, it says, "Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days," you want blessings? You want a good life? You want to be blessed? "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good." Now looky there. "Seek peace and pursue it." Seek it and pursue it. In other words, it's not going to come find you. You got to go find it. Peace does not just happen. I don't care how many of us get together and hold hands and sing Kumbaya and light a candle. Peace don't just happen. Peace has to be made. You seek it. You pursue it. You look for it. You find it. You force it. You make peace happen. That's the only way it's going to happen. It takes work. At the end there, it says, turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Chase it. What are you chasing? You chasing the buck? You chasing power? You chasing popularity? The Bible tells us to chase after peace. Run after it. Work for it. Make it happen. And in Hebrews chapter 12, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Make every effort. Stop thinking it's the other guy's job to change. Stop thinking it's he's got to change his mind and stop doing what he's doing. Scripture says you make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Romans again, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do what, make every effort to do what leads to peace. The time for us as a community to make a commitment to one another that says we're going to do what we have to do to live at peace, the time for that is long past. It's way overdue. We've got to decide that people are more important than getting our way, having things done the way we want them done. We've got to get past the idea that power is what counts or that politics rule. People are more important than all of that. And it's time for us to work together. Matthew chapter 5. The Beatitudes. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Now, don't run past that quickly. It doesn't say, blessed are the peace lovers. We all love peace. Even while I'm talking about peace, there's something inside of most of us that says, I got that checked off. I'm a peaceful person. I like peace. He didn't say peace lovers. He said peacemakers. Makers. You want a chocolate cake? You got to bake the cake. You want a big old glass of iced tea? Somebody got to make that big old glass of iced tea. You want peace? It's not going to come to you. It's not going to happen. You got to make it. We need to spend more energy making peace and less energy fighting each other. There's a song from the 50s that says, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. That's a pretty good idea. But remember, it's not going to happen unless it begins with me, unless I decide to make it happen. Friends, our community, and this is incredibly difficult for me to say, but I think it must be said. Our community is in trouble. Our reputation has been destroyed. Our recovery has been delayed. And our relationships have been damaged. All because we keep arguing and fighting. We're going to have to stop dragging this town through the mud on the evening news. And we're going to have to stop attacking each other on Facebook. Period. We tell our kids not to bully each other, and we warn teenagers against cyberbullying. But we think it's perfectly fine for adults to threaten each other and use the media to hurt people. For the sake of this community, it's time for some of us to step up and say enough is enough. Let's try talking to each other before we talk about each other. Let's try having conversations before we air our differences on TV. Let's try working together before we threaten each other. And let's try building some bridges of friendship instead of walls of hatred. I am very soon going to, introduce a community-wide campaign. And I don't know what it looks like yet. It's in its infancy stage. But I feel a deep sense of calling to lead our community in some way in what we're going to call reputation renovation. Just like we're renovating our church because it's time for a renovation, it's time to update, it's time to clear things out and get things cleaned up, the reputation of this great community needs a renovation. And I have identified five elements that are going to need to be involved in that renovation. Like I say, I'm not sure how this is going to develop in the community, but I want to share it with you today so you'll be praying with me about where we can go with this. There are five things that need to take place to renovate our town's reputation. The first one is restoration. I know that folks are tired of talking about it. I know. I get it. But the truth is, we're not done yet. There's still a lot of hard work to be done. And the first thing, the first part of restoring our reputation is restoring the community, the buildings, the work, so that we can say to the rest of the world, look what we've done. We did come back like we told you we would. And there's still a lot of restoration to be done. In addition to restoration, reconciliation. Not building and fixing buildings as much as building and fixing relationships. This is going to be key to restoring, to renovating the good reputation of our town. Reconciling one with another. Doing everything in my power to make peace. Communication. Talking to each other instead of screaming and yelling on the news every night. Participation. You want to know what's going on with the school board? They meet once a month. It's a public meeting. Everyone's invited. You ought to be there. City council meets the first Tuesday of every month. You want to know what's going on? It's a public meeting. Show up. Find out from the different entities in town, what can I do to help? What can I do to serve my community? What's my role in participating in our experience together? And finally, celebration. One of the things that's going to renovate, going to fix our reputation, is if we can celebrate everything that goes right. When folks folks across our state only hear about the problems and they only hear about the angry people, they don't know. They misunderstand who we are because they don't see the great things that are happening. We need to celebrate every great thing that's happening. I want to encourage you and ask you to please pray with me about reputation renovation. What does it look like? What's the best way to implement it? How can we get our community involved? And along the way, I'm going to challenge you, because it starts with you. I'm going to challenge you. Even though there are difficult people around, you can't change them. But I challenge you to live out Romans 12:18. And as much as possible, you do everything in your power to live at peace with those around you. Ephesians 4 sums it well. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received.
Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, he's obviously speaking to Christians in their relationship with each other in this case. He's talking to the church, because you know that, because he says that it works by keeping the unity of the Holy Spirit through the bond of peace. And so I'm thinking, if this peace thing is going to take hold, it needs to start with God's people. It's going to have to start with Christians in the churches. I put a little Facebook thing out and a little Twitter thing yesterday and simply asked the question, when you go to church and you say to your neighbors, peace be with you, do you really mean that? If so, what are you doing to cause it to happen, to bring peace? I think it's going to have to start with God's people and the churches. And by the way, that probably means no more dirty looks, no more cold shoulders, no more silent treatment. If you have a problem with a brother or a sister, talk to them. And if it's not worth talking about, then get over it and stop acting ugly. We're going to make peace, and it starts here. God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, and the joy of being a part of this great community. And Father, we pray that you would heal us. We've seen such great progress, and we will be forever grateful. But Lord, there's still so much to do. Bring healing to us individually, that we can let go of some of the hard feelings and that we can live at peace. Bring healing to relationships, that we can be strong and united. And Father, bring healing to our churches. Our homes, our families, our hearts. We pray that you'd do a work in us now to accept the great challenge of peace. In Jesus' name.